If I've got to be totally honest with you, I've got to tell you that this sermon has evolved a lot from earlier in this week until now. In fact, the latest revisions to it were made just this afternoon, just a couple of hours ago. It started out as somebody else's sermon, and a lot of my sermons do. It started out with a brief look at the text of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. This afternoon, I decided that I had it titled all wrong, and I needed to use a different translation for the lesson text in order to get the real message out of what I wanted to say. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 is a pretty familiar passage to most of us, and the most recognizable version of it comes from the King James translation, which says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." From that text, I had planned on challenging us about how we use our time. And yet when I looked at that text again, this time in a different wording, a little different translation, and I looked over the songs that Paul had sent me to go with this worship assembly tonight, I decided that this would be a good opportunity to change up the pace just a little bit. So we're going to mix the songs together with the lesson, and I'd like to use that same text. But I want to use it from the New Century Version, which reads like this. "So be very careful how you live. Do not live like those who are not wise, but live wisely. Use every chance you have for doing good, because these are evil times." Use every chance you have for doing good. Our first song really sets the direction for our study and goes hand in hand with that text, and I hope that we'll all sing with all of our hearts as we teach and admonish one another to take time to be holy.
Take time to be holy.
In love.
use every chance you have to spend some quiet moments with the Lord. You know, even in matters of this world, a wise person chooses very carefully the people that he surrounds himself with, those that he needs, those that he relies on for advice and counsel. We even often evaluate our politicians in terms of the kind of people they choose as their closest advisors, and that gives us a little bit of an indication how they think and what their position is on certain things. Our dependence upon God is something that only the most foolish of people would deny or argue with. Those with whom we associate, those we spend our time with, have in so many ways the most influence on our lives. The song that we're going to sing in just a minute is, it states that very simple, most basic fact that we need to go back to again and again and again, and it's a fact that so many people are so slow to acknowledge. The simple, basic fact is, I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. If you have figured out how to live an hour without God, you've got me beat. I don't know how it can be done. The longer I live, the more I see His involvement in all of the good things that come to me. The longer I live, the more I recognize how much I need Him to help me in being able to both figure out and also to execute the things that I need to be doing.
Oh.
use every chance you have to study and pray with your children.
One of the most frightening statistics that is available today has to do with the retention factor among children who are brought up in the church. And it's an astounding number. It's astoundingly low. Far lower than most of us would think that it is, and far lower than we would hope that it is. It's just a staggering number. Too many children grow up in the church but never somehow get the impression that Bible study and prayer are important anywhere besides in the church building. And quite honestly, the blame for that fact can only be laid at the feet of all of us who are parents. Now, it may very well be that I'm talking to a group of people who are the outstanding exceptions to all of those kind of rules, and our children are perfect. I have an idea that that's probably not the case, but it may be. But if it were the case, the fact remains that too many children grow up in the Lord's church having come up through the Sunday school program and so forth, attending most worship assemblies, or a great many of them, and somehow never get the impression made on them that prayer and Bible study is important anywhere except in the church building. It's a sad fact. There is very good reason why we refer to childhood as the formative years for children. It's because during those years, the greatest, most important impressions are made on them that have the most effect on how they will live once they get to adulthood and latch on to patterns that will accompany them steadily for the rest of their lives. The fact is, so many of us today have the generations that went before us to thank for our relationship with the Lord, our faithfulness, and that which was instilled in us by those who did a very good job of teaching us. And I say with all kindness and with all sincerity, if you were not able to grow up in a Christian home, then you really missed out a tremendous blessing. You missed out on a tremendous blessing. And the fact that many people have grown up outside the church but have become members of the church and are faithful to the church now is a wonderful thing. But the general rule is those who are not taught well in childhood, as a general rule, don't follow the principles of righteousness all of their lives. All of that brings us back to the main point that's stated there on the screen. We should take every chance we have to study with and to pray with our children. In a time when extracurricular activities have become so all-consuming, we need to ask ourselves, what have we done for our children this week? Many would be quick to say, well, you know, we've just got so many things going. We've got them in school, and it takes everything we can do to keep up with their schoolwork and keep them there and all that. And listen, I'm here to tell you, an education is very important, but an education is only important for certain things. Oh, we've got ball games and practices and so forth, and, you know, I played ball, and I'm thankful that I did. But I've come to the conclusion, you know, that I wasn't ever going to be a professional ball player. And if I had made one, it would have only lasted for a little bit, and it certainly wouldn't have been anything worth sacrificing some more important things in order to accomplish. Oh, you just don't understand how hard we work just to make ends meet and to put food on the table and to make sure everybody's got clothes to wear and things. And we just don't have time for a lot of extra Bible study and stuff at home. Listen. Groceries on the table and shirts on the backs are important. But not even those will get our children to heaven. So the question needs to be, what have I done for my children this week? What have I done for them up to this point in time? Have I done for them those things that everybody thinks are the things that need to be done? Or have I done for them the things that leave with them the impression of how important God and His Word are? And maybe the question should be turned into, where will my children be 10 years from now? And what should I do about today's priorities in order to make sure that in 10 years they're where they need to be? The song we're about to sing draws attention to the fact that the ancient message is not only the true message, but it's also a message that has been handed down to us. And it is a message that has benefited not only us, but also all of those who are close to us.
All the birds long preserved.
Number three, use every chance you have to worship God. You know, sometimes I feel like asking the question, when will God's people ever figure out that worship assemblies are a benefit and not a burden? Now, there are certain things that go along with the territory of being a preacher. Every now and then you get to rant and rave about things that are not really as big a problem as you may act like they are, but they are problems that need to be addressed. And sometimes I guess I might get a little carried away in talking about why people don't think that worship assemblies are more important. But let's do a little math. At 157 here this morning. Out of that 157, what? 25 visitors? 25 or 30 maybe? So let's take the 25 visitors off of that number, and we had 132. How many folks we got here tonight? Well, I haven't counted, and I don't think anybody's got to count yet, but let's just be generous and say we've got 100 folks here. That means there are 32 of our people. Well, let's take a couple of older, elderly folks off who didn't feel, you know, up to coming back tonight, and let's take one or two more off, you know, for having some unavoidable situation, but got to count yet? Okay. And so, let's say 28 people. 28 are missing tonight. 28 didn't come back. 28 people. And I'm going to step out into that no man's land and express an assumption, but you know, 28 people, maybe out of our regular number of 125, 130, 28 didn't feel like it was important enough to come back tonight and assemble to worship God. And when you put it in that perspective, that's not the way that we normally look at it, but I don't think there's really anything wrong with calling attention to the facts in that way. 28, let's say we normally have 125, 135, that's what? That's 20%, one-fifth of our number. One out of every five members of the Redland Road Church of Christ don't think it's all that important to come back on Sunday night. Again, let me back up and say that, you know, all that's based on an assumption. We're assuming some numbers and we're assuming some decisions that folks made that we're not really party to. And so, you know, we might be overstating it a little bit, but how important do we consider every opportunity that we have to assemble and worship God? You know, no other inspired writer wrote more about worshiping God than David did. And I guess probably the most well-known passage that he wrote on the subject was Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go up into the house of the Lord." Kind of in a connection with what we studied this morning, I want to call your attention to a passage over in a little used portion of the Old Testament, the prophecy of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8, verses 20 to 23. The prophet is foretelling a time when people are going to see, particularly the Jews, but actually those who are worshiping God. He's predicting a time when folks will see those who are worshiping God and they're going to beg them to let them be a part of what they're doing. Here's what he says. Thus says the Lord of hosts, peoples shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, "Let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going." Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, "Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." I realize that that's a prophetic statement and it has a figurative application in more than one way. But it also expresses an attitude and a concept. Concept that I tried hard to get across to us this morning. The concept being that what we have as God's children, as Christians, is a wonderful thing. And anything that we can do to help others want to be a part of it and to share in it is something that we really ought to do. Conversely, anything that we do in any way that we behave and any impression that we leave with someone that God and worshiping God is not really the most important thing in my life, well, we've done damage to the whole system, to the whole works. In our own little way, we've pulled a brick out of the wall. We need to be using every chance we have to worship God, because there will come a time when we won't have the opportunity. There'll be times when we'll be hindered. There'll be times of poor health. There'll be times when it will be inopportune. Let's don't waste the opportunities. The song we're going to sing is a song about sacrifice. It's about bringing things to God, and that's another way of expressing how we worship God. That's the case where the song leader needs eyes in the back of his head, because there are about five different versions of that thing in paperless hymnal, and I'm never really sure if I've got the same one that Paul's got on his page. Number four, take every chance you have to get closer to God. Really, that sums up everything that we're talking about tonight. Getting closer to God. What vicinity do you live in? What? What do you mean? Well, where do you live? How close to God do you live? There is no doubt that most of us feel close to God right now. What we're doing here this afternoon, what we did this morning, helps us to feel closer to God, to be closer to God. It's more than just a feeling. But what about tomorrow or the next day or along about Thursday or Friday? Where will you be living then? Will you be living just as close to God as you were today when you were singing praises. The goal that we should be striving for is that there be a consistency of our Christianity that will cause people to want to be a part of it. In every way that you can possibly do it, it's worth every effort that can be expended. Use every chance you have to get closer to God. The song we're about to sing is one of my favorites. It's a song that expresses the need to be very close to God's heart.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed
use every chance you have. Every chance you have to do good, because these times are evil. We'd be doing the passage an injustice, I think, if we didn't finish it up with that phrase, because anytime you have a because, that's worth looking into. Because these are evil times that we live in. It may be that you live a sheltered life in a very sheltered place, and you don't have to come in contact with bad things and bad people and hear bad language and anything like that. And I hope that's the case. I know the reality is that there are some of us who are exposed to the realities of this life. These are evil times. The days are evil. That just gives us all the more reason to take every chance we have, to use every opportunity we have to do those good things, those things that will make us stronger, those things that will make our families better, those things that will strengthen our relationship with God, those things that will help us to be more persuasive of other people, that they might come to what they need most, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you surrendered your will to His? Is His way your way? If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we're going to sing this song to encourage you, and we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.